Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as we leave the music of George Dyson behind, now an Earth Day call-in on how you stay connected to the Earth if you live in the city. How do you? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We'll do the policy stuff in great detail tomorrow as we break down the city's new Plan YC update. They're going to try to reduce trash generation by like 90% in New York City. So we'll talk about that in detail tomorrow. But on a more personal level, for those of us who live in cities, it's sometimes almost impossible to even see the earth or the soil. We forget about the grass, you know, the little square of grass on the sidewalk between the concrete slabs doesn't really count. No matter what season it is, the cement stays gray. So we want to know, how do you do it? How do you stay connected to nature in the metropolis? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. How are you connecting the concrete jungle to the earth on this Earth Day? Or how are you connecting it to your Earth Day ideals? 212-433-9692. A few possible examples, and we'll talk to a guest who's got an interesting thing going in just a second. Jim Hubley, a Brooklyn-based web developer who created a virtual map of all 592,130 street trees in New York City. We'll leave until after the break how many species there are in the five boroughs. But the city also has a water app called NYC Water that you could use to locate your nearest public water fountain. Did you know that? That's neat. Maybe keeps you from buying a plastic bottle. Are you connecting through gardening or farming in formerly urban space? How about fashion as a city life thing? Are you making environmental choices about how you dress? A clean water activist is going to swim across the Gowanus Canal today to raise more awareness about one of the dirtiest waterways in the country. He has to wear highly protective gear. I'm not sure that particular environmental engagement is for me or for everyone, but it's a concrete jungle and Earth Day call-in. How do you stay connected to the earth if you live in the city? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And we'll take your calls and talk about that street trees map right after this.
A parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
Didn't Talking Heads do a song that was kind of the opposite of that? Anyway, it is Earth Day, and our question is on the table: how do you stay connected to the earth if you live in the city? 212-433-9692. And as your calls are coming in, we have Jill Hubley on the line for a couple of minutes, a Brooklyn-based web developer who created a virtual map of the 592,130 street trees in New York City. Wow. Welcome, Jill.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
How do you know it's not 592,131?
I'm not sure. You know, the map really speaks to the data, and the data was not collected by me, but by a lot of volunteers throughout the city working with the Department of Parks and Recreation.
What borough has the most trees?
I believe the borough with the most trees is Queens, and then the borough with the highest density of trees is Manhattan.
Highest density of trees is Manhattan. Is that just
right
because of Central Park or for some other reason?
Well, actually, the map only shows street trees, so if you see the map, there are actually big gaps where the parks are. But I believe it's just possibly because of the number of houses and that sort of thing.
All right, I'll bite. How many species of tree are there in New York City?
There are 168.
Whoa.
Yeah, so there are quite a few. The map allows you to filter by the top 50 or so, and then the rest are still on the map, but aren't filterable exactly. You sort of have to hover over to see them, just to make it a little bit clearer for users.
Do you have at your fingertips the most common two or three?
I know the most common is the London plane tree, And I know a few of the others in Staten Island, the calorie pear is the most common. And in Manhattan, it's the honey locust. And I know that the Norway maple is also a popular one. But I know that the Norway maple and the calorie pear, they're starting to phase out because they're sort of seen as invasive species.
Is there a tree species that really surprised you when you saw it on the map?
Well, I was really surprised just by the overall diversity, and also that a lot of the trees that are planted by the Parks Department aren't native. So you can see trees that are, originated in Asia or other countries, such as the Japanese Velkova tree or the Katsura tree, or, things like this. So really interesting ones that are very beautiful specimens.
And I see that traditionally the Parks Department has worked to avoid floral monocultures, that is, homogeneous plant populations, by shaking things up and growing non-natives throughout the city. Even when it comes to species you might expect to find in New York, such as oak and maple and elm, I read that the Parks Department chose to plant Asian cultivars instead of North American ones. There's only one oak species on the list that isn't from Asia, and that's an English oak native to Europe. Is that part of what you saw?
Yes, it is, definitely. It's interesting looking at the map. You can see, because I chose to represent the tree spatially and then designate each species with a color, you can really see the trends at a glance. So you can see how the diversity is represented, and then you can see also some pockets where there are sort of clusters of species or streaks where a tree or a street is lined with a particular species. So, definitely.
Is there a good way to be nice to your local street tree for Earth Day?
Definitely. I'd say keep your dogs away from the tree bed.
That's a good start.
If you live in a building right in front of a street tree, you can give it water if it looks like it's getting a little dry. The City of New York also has a citizen pruner program. So if it looks like it needs to be cut back a little bit or needs a little bit more care, you could get involved in that way.
Jill Hubley, Brooklyn-based web developer who created a virtual map of the 592,130 street trees using the city's data. Where can people see this?
Sure, it's at my website. It's jillhubley.com/projects/NYC trees.
And Hubley is H-U-B-L-E-Y?
That's correct.
Jill, thanks a lot. Thanks for doing it. Thanks for talking about it.
Thank you.
And now to your calls on how you stay connected to the earth if you live in the urban jungle. Leela in Bed-Stuy, you're on WNYC. Hi, Leela.
Hello. I live in a place. We bought a house which was pretty, the garden was very neglected. It was full of knotweed, and we turned it into an edible medicinal garden, which is, it actually backs onto a community garden as well, which was a little neglected. And we, now it's kind of full of all these great gardeners and everything. Well, we had a big event last weekend. It's being filled with seeds and plants right now. Our garden is just bursting.
What do you mean edible medicinal garden?
Everything in it can either be eaten or used to make some kind of a potion. So we have witch hazel. There's a peach tree. Of course, you can eat the peaches, but then I discovered from my lovely Japanese friend that you can use the peach leaves to make lotion and to put in the bath for different treatments for your skin. So there's a lot of things that I'm still learning about in the garden as well. So
cool.
It's kind of an ongoing project for us.
Sounds like. Leela, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Happy Earth Day. Nancy in Manhattan. Hi, Nancy. How do you stay connected to the Earth on Earth Day in the city?
Well, first, I'm still connected because I was hugged by Joni Mitchell in the grocery store in Brentwood last fall. And
how did you elicit that hug? What did you do?
I didn't exactly stalk her, but I noticed her. I was checking out, and I followed her down the, it was a Whole Foods store, down the organic tomato line, and I just said, I have to. And I couldn't get the words out because I was, she's, that's exactly. And she just enveloped me in her wonderful warm self. So I'm carrying that energy still. But I called because I have a neighbor who runs, she's the mayor of First Avenue. She runs a little thrift store on First Avenue. And she has a tree that she has taken such care of for years. And every time she tries to mend it, the super scrapes the grass away, does all kinds of things. The super was fired. And as a ritual, she planted a ring of petunias around the outside of the tree, and we sat and stared at it last night. It was terrific. And today I'm taking my dog, who's a little schnoodle, and we're going to roll around the grass in Central Park.
Oh,
that's
great.
How we do it.
Nancy, thank you. Cookie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Cookie.
Hi. What I've done is, since I never was not born in New York, when I moved here, I made it a point to always live at the top floor of every building I've lived in, which is about, you know, many addresses by now, so that I can see what's going on. And even though I started off with some low roofs, I now have such a view that I can almost see the curvature of the earth up here. And over time, that's allowed me to move from, I know it sounds crazy because I didn't plan on this originally because there was no solar industry at the time that I came to New York. But now the inspiration of just all these roofs and the view, of course, of the sun and the terrain, mm-hmm. and the impact of the buildings of New York, you know, on the landscape actually motivated me to get into a major industrial-scale solar development in New York State.
That's great. Well, it sounds like you must have been born under an air sign or a sky sign because you want to be connected to the sky and the sun.
Believe it or not, earth and air.
There you go. Cookie, thank you very much. Happy Earth Day. And, Marge adopted a street tree. Marge, is that what you did?
Yes, I adopted a street tree. It's a Schumann oak, so it's a tree that it's a vulnerable street tree, but it keeps its leaves all winter, and it just lost its leaves now to replenish them for the spring.
And what does adopting it mean? And can other people do that with local trees?
Yes, I adopted it through the Million Trees campaign, so you can just go on the website, and they have marked off which are the vulnerable trees. And I adopted this tree because it was particularly vulnerable because I pass it on the way to the subway every day, and it was very overgrown, and I was afraid that it had rats because there was so much debris there. And when I cleared away the weeds and the debris, I found out that it already did have rats. So I've been kind of fighting off the rats, and I plant flowers and everything. So it's just really nice to see it sort of be transformed.
Marge, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. All right, we have 15 seconds for a quick last one. Gerald in Clinton Hill, who fell in love with birding in the parks. Right, Gerald? So what have you seen this spring that's really different?
Well, I saw the Prosonotary warbler, which is a pretty rare warbler, just the other day, which was really exciting. But I just want to say birding is a really great way to connect with nature here in the city because the green spaces are so isolated.
Yes.
We get an incredible diversity of species. And
Gerald, I'm going to leave it there because we're out of time. Happy Earth Day.
There is unrest in the forest. There is trouble with the trees. For the maples want more sunlight and